Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I thought it was a grand coincidence that on Memorial Day weekend, the lesson for the day would be about a centurion. A centurion was a very special kind of soldier. He had to rise up from the ranks. He was not a young man. Centurions were battle-hardened. They were highly disciplined. They had to rule over at least 100 soldiers. And when it came to the time of battle, they didn't send their soldiers in ahead of them. They had to go in front of them. So a centurion had to be a man of great courage and valor. Centurions were known for their toughness. They didn't suffer fools gladly. And if someone was out of line, a centurion could use their rod of correction, and they used it liberally. Now, the centurion in this story is quite remarkable because he has an assignment that no one would want. His assignment was to be in an occupied area. So already the people around him would despise him because he was part of the occupying forces of Rome. But this man was remarkable. He was remarkable in a few ways. First, he had a slave. Now, the slaves in Roman times were considered tools and nothing more. There was even advice that when your slave got too old and could not perform his or her duties, that you put them out without recourse. Slaves could be killed, and it was the owner's right to do so. But this centurion loved his slave. This centurion valued the person who had given him service, valued him so much that he asked for help on his behalf. Not only that, I don't know if the centurion was loving or shrewd, but he realized in order to be successful where he was in an occupied land, that perhaps he should do something kind for the people. So what would be kinder than to help them build their synagogue? And this centurion helped the people build their synagogue, a synagogue that he would not have been invited to enter. And so he did. And as he did, the people in that area loved him. He was a remarkable man. And when he heard that Jesus had some sort of power of healing, he sent his Jewish friends to ask for help. And the Jewish friends went, and they were remarkable too, because these were leaders, and they interceded on behalf of a soldier who was occupying their land. They didn't have to do that. And they interceded quite well. They said to Jesus, "He's worthy of your attention." And you know the rest of the story, that Jesus went to do what they had asked. And when the centurion realized that Jesus was going to come under his roof, a Jewish rabbi going into a Gentile home, he said, "Hold it right there. Tell him he doesn't have to come. All he has to do is say the word, and I know my servant will be healed." The power of intercession. We intercede so much in this church for people who are in need. We intercede for our friends and family. But what I'd like to propose today is that we also ought to intercede for those whom we deem and the world has deemed unworthy. I think that's the most powerful of intercessions. The world deemed that servant, that slave, unworthy. The world deemed that Gentile centurion unworthy. And yet he said, "Lord, say the word, and he will be healed." Do we intercede for the unworthy. That's part of the Christian faith, is to intercede, to plead to God for those who might never walk into this church, who might never own our own faith, who might never even be nice to us. Do we intercede? Now, I'm going to tell you a story that I told at our first Unity service at Stella Maris. So if you remember it, kudos. Tell me if you remember this. But this is a story not from my childhood, but from my mother's. She went to a very small church. It was a struggling church. Many of the people there were in poverty. And she said there was a man there who was quite devout. He was a loving man, a generous man, a gentle man. And every time they came to the point of the service where they would ask for prayer concerns, he would have one request and one request only. He would stand up and say, "Church, please pray for my wife because she needs to know the Savior." Now, his wife was the polar opposite of him. She was neither kind nor generous. In fact, they were saying that she was quite a shrew. Nobody liked her, and she did not like anyone else. And she was especially hard on her husband when he would go to church. She despised church. She despised the faith. And every time he walked out that door, she gave him a hard time. So every Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, he would get up. After a while, it became a running joke. They'd see him stand up and everybody's head would go down because they knew. And I am sure that these loving people of God figured this particular woman was way outside the realm of grace. But because they loved their brother in Christ, they prayed dutifully Sunday after Sunday. Month after month, year after year, they thought that woman is never going to change. She was mean and hard-hearted. But one day, one of her children got very sick. Now, this was in a time before antibiotics and pediatricians, before the routine vaccinations to keep our children safe. And many of the families in that day had lost children. My grandmother lost 3 babies to childhood illnesses. So when a child developed a fever, it was a life or death situation. And he called up his church friends and said, "You have to pray because this child is so sick." Well, they not only prayed, they came to the house. And they stayed overnight with this mother, this hard-bitten, mean woman. They stayed with her overnight, praying and helping her with this child, until in the morning, the fever broke. And that woman was completely transformed. My mother said, till the day she died, she was one of the kindest, sweetest ladies you'd ever want to meet. No one is outside the grace of God, but it takes us to go and say, "Lord, speak the word." And that word might go out, and it might not happen next week, or next month, or next year. But each time we come, we say, "Lord, speak the word, only speak the word. And the one I'm praying for will be restored." It's easy to pray for the people we love, the people that we hold dear to our hearts. But I want you to find the crankiest person in your life and pray for them every single day. Do we have the kind of faith of the centurion? Do we have the kind of faith of the Jewish elders who came to Jesus and interceded on behalf of one who was unworthy? Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that your grace is not confined to this building or to the people here, but those who are on the streets today, those who might have never regarded you, and those who are in desperate need of your grace. And so, Lord, I ask that you would raise up people to intercede for all whom you love. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.